You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
This is the Mandatory Samson Podcast, episode number 7. We are recording on a Tuesday, and it is confusing as fuck. I don't know what's going on. We're doing this early because the studio here at Stand Up New York Labs is going to be closed on Thursday. It's a holiday. It's Thanksgiving. We won't be able to record then, so we're recording today. And this podcast, if you're listening to it, you already know, but I'm going to announce it anyway, is coming out Wednesday at midnight. So you guys have all of Thanksgiving Day to enjoy this podcast on your travels or in some downtime or as light background music during your dinner conversation. Mm-hmm. My name is Chris. I'm joined by two other fine gentlemen. The one to my right,
Joey Noe.
That's right. And directly across from me,
Andrew Gentilozzi.
Very exciting. We have Joe Harari producing this thing. Hey. He's very excited to be here.
Hey.
Check out his podcast, Your Mother's Basement. He does it with Jonathan Randall. It's very good.
You don't have to, though.
No, by all means, you don't have to. But you could, you know? So, guys, first of all, last week's episode, we had J-Train Jared Fried on. I'd like to thank Jared again for coming on. I think it was great.
Yep, thank you, Jared.
Joey, he gave you some great advice.
Yeah,
yes, he did.
That was such a fun episode.
Yeah, I really had a great time. Have you gotten laid since that episode, Joey?
I have not, but I plan on taking his advice wholeheartedly in the new year.
Wow, you're
going to
wait all the way till January. Okay.
No, it's only, what, a month, 2 months?
Well, yeah, it's the middle of, it's towards the end of November now, yeah. Okay, very good. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, if you're listening to this. It's a wonderful holiday. I like Thanksgiving because you don't have to give gifts or anything. You just sit down with people, you eat, you have a good time, you watch some football. It's
nice.
Fun. You like Thanksgiving, Joey?
I love Thanksgiving.
Andy, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm going up to my aunt's house in Cheshire. It should be very exciting. It's going to be a relatively small get-together for my family, which will be about 20 people, and that's small for my family.
Wow, really? Yeah, it's max like 7 in my family.
Yeah, well, my mom's side of the family is Irish Catholic, so she's the oldest of 8, and there's right. A lot of people. We right. go, yeah.
All right, well, there you go. So I hope everybody's enjoying their day, and thank you for tuning into this wonderful podcast. So, it's actually serendipitous that we get to record on a Tuesday because yesterday was a huge day in American politics, history, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, the Ferguson grand jury decision came out about the Michael Brown shooting. Darren Wilson, they've decided not to indict him on anything involving that whole incident, which we're going to get into in a minute. I do just want to say at the start, though, that usually we don't really cover, and I don't like to cover, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but just sort of like an ethic of the how I like the ethic of the podcast to be is that we're not going to necessarily cover stuff that is like immediate in the news cycle. I like to get stuff that's sort of a little bit outside of it, but relates to it and has more of a broader resonance mm-hmm. to some of the stuff that's coming up. But this one, you can't ignore this one. This is something that I think we have to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
Do you guys have any initial thoughts on this to kick it off?
I do. I think it's actually ridiculous that they chose not to indict the officer at all.
Yeah.
I feel that they could have came to the conclusion where he should be indicted, because if he's indicted, he's not automatically found guilty, but it's one more process in getting to that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing that probably gets lost in the shuffle for a lot of people that are sort of peripherally paying attention to it. This wasn't the trial. And I bet there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, okay, well, they found him innocent. But that's not what this was. This was simply a proceeding to determine whether they should go to a trial, to determine whether this guy was justified in
his
murdering
actions.
An unarmed person, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think the biggest thing is, and we kind of talked about it earlier, the reason they decided not to indict him was because they felt they wouldn't have enough evidence to prosecute him.
Supposedly. Right.
And I'm not really sure how that could be true. That just doesn't seem to make much sense to me. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know, man. This is always a tricky subject when it comes to police officers being prosecuted, because as much as they say, you know, they don't try to protect their own, I'm not sure how much I can believe that.
No, it's not true. They're always looking to make sure, again, it's the fraternal, it's a brotherhood.
Yeah, exactly.
They're trying to make sure that each other are taken care of, and fine, they're all part of the same organization. But if you want to foster responsibility and ethics in an organization like that, you have to, when somebody acts possibly inappropriately, I'm not even saying, we'll get into it, I'm not even saying right now, though, that he acted inappropriately, you have to at least have accountability. And it's in a huge incident like this, a public trial is what, in my mind, is required here.
It's warranted, yeah.
Because it's already in the court of public opinion, like we talked about last week with Cosby. People right. on either side have already made up their mind. If you bring it to trial, at least then you see the proceedings, you understand the evidence, you get to see this guy talk, which nobody's seen Darren Wilson say a word yet,
nope.
which is a strange thing that he's been this protected. You know, you need to have the evidence put out there, because a lot of people, and obviously look what's going on in Ferguson, people are freaking out, people are rioting.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man, it's a shame. And again, we spoke about this for a minute. You know, when people protest nonviolently, there's always the argument that they're not doing enough, that people won't listen to their opinion, and it'll just kind of get swept under the rug because
right.
it's not anything. It's not a big news story when people are protesting peacefully.
When people behave properly, it's not going to get covered.
Right.
It's dog bites man. It's not man bites dog.
Right. But then when they protest violently and loot and riot, then we say, or people say, that they're just perpetuating this stereotype and perpetuating this idea that they don't know how to protest peacefully.
Sure. And it also gives the racists an opportunity to be like, see, look what they're doing, these
yeah.
savages, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
And look, people, I'm sure there are people involved in those riots and the protests that are not there because they care about the issue. I think there's an underlying rage, obviously, that is part and parcel with a black community or a poor community like that.
Yeah.
And this is a good excuse probably for some people. But on the other hand, I think there's justifiable anger amongst that community.
I think there is. I certainly think there is. And I'm angry about it, to be honest with you. And that's as a you know, 20-something-year-old white male.
Right.
I think it's ridiculous. And I do understand the anger. My only idea is don't fucking destroy the businesses, you know, these mom and pop businesses in your neighborhood,
right, who are part of your community.
Who are part of
right.
your community. Go fucking flip a squad car over. Go like
sure.
go burn, you know, like go do that. Take your anger out on the people that you are actually angry at. Don't like what is it going to do to destroy these businesses owned by people in your community? It's absolutely absurd.
Absolutely. And again, it gives justification then to the people who are racist, that they can just point and be like, look at what the blacks do.
Right.
You get this fucking like wave of insane racism that comes out of the woodwork when you know something like this goes down, which is absurd, obviously.
Yeah, and I'm all for a good loot. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
like,
we were joking around before that Andy's going to go loot a guitar center.
Yeah, but I'd probably be the only one there. But
I'm going looting! Loot!
And I was just, my idea was to just scream loot, maybe not even have people there with me, throw a brick through the front door because they're glass, and then try and grab a couple PRS hollow body twos.
It's like when Frank the Tank, we're going streaking!
Yeah,
nobody's going streaking.
Yeah.
We're going looting! And it's just Andy.
Yeah.
PRS,
send me something.
Yeah, please send my man a guitar. He loves it. I wrote down a couple of thoughts, and I do want to get to the Brown, Michael Brown's parents. They made a statement, obviously,
yeah.
after
mm-hmm.
this. And it's nothing special. It's what you would expect from them. They're calling for calm and this, but they do bring up the Mike Brown law, which is something that they would like to get passed.
Okay.
And I'm not gonna say what that is. That's a little teaser in business lingo. And we'll bring that up in a minute. But I just wanted to read real quick. I wrote down just a couple of thoughts, like, as I was watching it last night, and then because I was watching it basically up until I started preparing for the podcast, so it was perfect. I just wrote, what really bothers me is the, quote, otherness. Like, people are watching this go down, people who are white or whatever, not involved in the situation, they watch it and they go, look what they are doing.
Yes.
Look what that group of people is doing. What bothers me, clearly there's fear and anger and resentment. You don't have to always agree with these people, but you do have to fight for the rights of your fellow citizens and humans to protest, to voice their opinion, to talk truth to power or whatever. It's a minority that people don't usually give a lot of credit to. They feel wronged. I think a lot of people would agree that they've been wronged here, and maybe it's not the right way to go about it, but they do have the right to protest. And when people look at them as the other, that really bothers me. You know, I have a tattoo, We the People. Well, I have that because first of all, it's a little patriotic. I am proud to be in this country. It could definitely be perfected. It's not perfect, but I am proud to be here. But I also have that kind of feeling about the world. Like, we are all people. You know, you can be born in many different circumstances. It's just luck that you happen to be where you are, or bad luck that you happen to be where you are, depending on the situation. So, like, we're all in it together, and that's really how I look at things. You know, you treat other people well. I continued, the simple fact is no one should be killed in the street when they're unarmed.
No.
Period.
They
okay.
Shouldn't.
This was not a this was not a trial. It was a determining whether there should even be a trial. There was 12 shots fired by a cop into or at around a guy who was unarmed. And I don't think in America you should be shot dead in the street when you don't have a weapon.
And your body shouldn't be left out there for 2 hours.
It was way longer than 2 hours, but right.
Yeah,
they just left him lying in the street.
And just to clarify, what Wilson told the grand jury was that he said two shots were fired during a struggle at his police cruiser, and then he fired three bursts of gunfire as he chased and then backed away from Brown. So because I'm sure a lot of you have heard that he said Mike Brown was still running through the shots.
Right.
And yeah, he shot at him and he kept coming at him. And one thing, and I know aren't that big into guns. He was carrying a Sig Sauer 40 caliber gun. That's most police officers carry Glock 9mm. 9mm, a 40 caliber gun is like that's a tough shot. Like, that's going to hurt you. And
right. It's a more lethal shot.
Yeah. Okay. And
than a regular gunshot.
than a 9mm.
Right.
And the gun he's carrying had a clip of 13 bullets. So he fired 12 of them. And I don't know, man. To me, like, I can't really believe. And I know Brown was a big kid. He was 6'4",
2... He was 6'4", 292. 90? Wilson's 6... This is the thing.
He's 6'4", also.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 220. So.
Yeah.
So it's okay. Like, yeah, he's given up some weight, but he's a big dude as well. And they're making it seem like he's some little baby that this guy grabbed.
Right. And I don't know, man. It's hard for me to believe that you could keep running through, like, at least a three-round burst. Three 40 caliber bullets, which hit him basically center mass. Like, I don't know how you would run through that. And I don't know. There's a lot of his story that I just really can't believe.
No, and that's something else I wanted to bring up. I will say this, it doesn't seem like Michael Brown is totally innocent.
No.
Okay, it seems like he definitely did something. Mm-hmm. I just think that the end result didn't have to be this kid being shot dead in the street. And on top of that, there should just be at least a trial to see whether this was warranted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you go through the whole process and it comes out that this is absolutely what he had to do, fine.
Then if it comes out that this, again, is a tragedy, but it had to happen this way. The officer felt like he could have possibly been killed,
right,
hurt, whatever, and he felt it was his life or Brown's, then fine. Nobody's going to be happy about it, but let's at least go through the process.
Yeah, let the facts bear out.
Yeah, and see if he did, in fact, do something wrong, because this all kind of stinks of him doing something wrong.
No doubt about it. I read the interesting thing was after the grand jury decision came out, it was announced by McCullough, Bob McCullough, I forget what his name is. They released all the evidence that they dealt with in the grand jury, and it was like 90 pages of the of Darren Wilson's testimony, and I was like, well, fuck it, I'm doing the podcast tomorrow. I read it.
So you're telling me with 90 pages there wasn't enough just to start the process of a trial?
Well, yeah. Well, yes. There's a lot more evidence. They have the autopsy results and this and that. However, the Michael Brown's parents got their own guy to come in and do an autopsy. He said he was refused a bunch of materials that he wanted.
Yes.
They didn't let him have it.
Yeah.
Okay. That right there, that alone.
Yeah, based alone, yeah.
Should result, you go, okay, well, obviously we're not getting the information we need. We need to have a trial. Clearly, the result should have been a trial. Okay. I read through the testimony. Darren Wilson, his responses come across like he's not the brightest dude in the world. Not that he's necessarily lying or something, but just the way that his phrases are, his responses are phrased are, they don't show a level of intellect. You know what I mean? It's like, he's probably not a genius, this guy. And also, he had months to rehearse this statement, what he was going to say. If you go read through it, it's pretty obvious, like, it's been coached the way he's saying things. I went through, and I found something that really annoyed me. And again, it's another thing where you go, well, if this is the case, he's probably making some other shit up. Let's find out. Let's go to trial. So I wrote down, and I did. I read all 90 pages, because I'm responsible, and I feel like this is important. On page 27 of his testimony, and you can find this online, it's all available, they're showing in his deposition, whatever you want to call it, they're showing him pictures of himself that were taken at the hospital because he claims that Michael Brown punched him three times, or he punched him twice, and he feared that the third one would be fatal, which is insane. But you would assume if the first two were vicious, there'd be some kind of obvious visible damage to his face, right? On page 27 of this, they're showing him pictures of himself at the hospital, and they're asking him with a laser pointer to show where's the swelling and whatever.
The bruise, yeah.
In the testimony, Wilson says, "I never saw my face after." He's surprised. He goes, "I'm having a hard time figuring out where the swelling is because I didn't even look at myself after this incident." We'll get to that in a second. Okay. I'm just going to break it down, then we'll get into it. On page 48, he says, they're asking him, he says he has a cut on his hand. He realizes his hand has blood on it. Quote, "So I go directly to the bathroom. I actually washed them. Went to the bathroom and then I looked. Like, still has, like, in my cuticles and stuff. So I washed my hands again." What bathroom do you go to
that doesn't have
a fucking mirror above the sink?
Well, and
in a police station?
Well, and after you've been in an incident like this, you tell me you don't look at yourself in the mirror just to be like, holy shit, like, what did I just go through? Like, you tell me you're not looking at yourself in the mirror, and at least to be like, holy shit, what did I just go through? Or at least just to check out your face to see, like, if you got fucked up or not.
No doubt about it. Like, no doubt about it. There's more to it. If you're a guy, because I'm a guy, so I'm going for my own perspective. Yeah, I think so. Guys go to a bar or something, you get a little drunk, you're having fun, whatever. You go into the bathroom for a minute, you piss, you wash your hands. You always have that minute where you wash your hands and you look up, kind of check your eyes a little bit, and you're like, all right. And then you go back out into the thing. You're telling me this guy didn't do that after he murdered somebody? He knows he
shot
him.
11 shots.
Yeah, he killed a guy. It's a hard, you know, he looked himself. And then he goes on page 71, somebody else asks him about it. And he goes, yeah, I looked in the mirror. So, right. So that to me means, okay, there's an inconsistency there, but we're just going to ignore that inconsistency and let it go. Go to trial. It's that simple. He also, weirdly, if you read the testimony, it's very bizarre the way that he explains the circumstances.
Yeah,
I don't buy it. And yeah, there's a fog of war aspect to it, but I don't buy it completely. Okay. And that's the thing. It's a reasonable doubt. You have to put this guy on trial. He drove himself home. He drove himself back to the police department after the incident. He tells his superior that showed up at the scene, like, you know, the guy's like, you got to get out of here. And he's like, I don't feel comfortable driving my car. And the guy's like, take mine. Take my car. And he leaves. Did he never look in the rearview mirror driving back? Did he never even glance into the mirror and go, oh, shit, and see his face? Okay, I have the pictures here of this guy. Let me see. I'm going to try to get them up. The internet's being insanely slow today, so it's really annoying me. But anyway, you know, let me look for those pictures. What do you guys have thoughts on this? Like, to me, that's an obvious conflict there in what he's saying.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, just the fact that he didn't look in a mirror once after this took place is complete bullshit. Like, it is
bullshit, right? Okay, here we go. I got the pictures up. This is photos of him that were released yesterday. He doesn't really look like he has any injuries at all. I mean, it's consistent with what would look like to me a scrape or maybe like a little bit of a scuffle.
His face is red.
It's red.
But also, I can't tell if that's just from the camera.
Absolutely. You know, or it could just be like, from his cheeks are flushed.
Right. Well, and look
at him. He looks fine.
Everybody's seen that photo of him when he was, I think it was when he first became a police officer. He has naturally red cheeks anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're looking at a picture. I'm just standing there. If he thought he had to kill this kid because one more punch was going to knock him out, mm-hmm. he sure has a great chin because he's got no marks on
George him. Zimmerman looked worse than this dude did. Like,
totally.
Jesus
totally.
Christ. Like, at least he had a broken nose. Like,
no doubt about it. Yeah. So that really annoys me.
And one big thing can I bring up? The medical investigator took no photos on the scene.
How do you not take
Do you know why?
No, I don't know.
His phone died, right?
The battery on the camera died.
See, like,
what the
like that's so
what the fuck is going on there? Nobody had a
possible, but suspicious as fuck.
Suspicious as fuck. You're telling me if this was just a regular murder, if they were just going out to a regular homicide, you think they wouldn't have extra batteries or a camera with like a fully charged battery? That is so suspicious. It's not even funny.
Absolutely. And you know what? Maybe it is, and maybe this is exposing a problem with our law enforcement and our justice system. Maybe this is how fucking incompetent it is across the board.
It's not. It's not. I know that for a fact because I've had a couple friends whose like dads have worked in law enforcement, and those crime scenes, the way they, and actually, my best friend when I lived in St. Louis, his dad was the chief of police. I'm not going to say what county it was in. But he would tell us about when he would go to crime scenes. He was a homicide detective before he was a chief. And, like, they were so on top of everything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Every little detail right. Because it's a homicide investigation.
Right. Everything
if
matters.
If you want to catch the person who did something, every detail matters. It seems like here, they're not so interested in figuring out who was in the wrong.
No doubt about it. And I think, again, one second, Joey. And I think, again, Michael Brown probably did do something. Okay.
He did that robbery
right.
before this happened.
Right.
But where it seems like he stole like blunts, right?
Yeah, he stole Swishers. Yeah.
He stole Swishers. But, and again, that was another conflicting report of whether Wilson knew who he was, knew he was the suspect. Or
right.
Not. That's another
he says in the
report.
Testimony that he heard the call.
Yeah.
But then there's other reports that say he didn't know when he approached them.
Exactly.
There's also conflicting reports because Dorian Johnson, I think is the other guy's name.
His buddy.
They're saying he was the one that stole the cigars. So it's like, it's this whole mess. If you read through the testimony, there's a lot of like shit that red flagged for me. And again, maybe Michael Brown was acting like an asshole. Shouldn't be dead. Definitely shouldn't be dead.
No.
And again, I'll say it again because it's really frustrating. This was just a proceeding to figure out whether there should have been a trial, and obviously there should have been.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just this whole thing, I don't know, man, it really hits like close to home for me because I lived there for a long time. And
you lived in Missouri, yeah.
Yeah, I lived in Missouri for like 10 years. And like when I was in high school and I spent a lot of time, I had a lot of friends who like lived in the city, and Ferguson's right outside the city. And and the thing about St. Louis is it's like Chicago. It's a predominantly black city. And
but segregated.
Yes. Yeah. The counties are where all the white people live. The city and surrounding areas are where the black people live. I know it sounds bad, but that's just
the way it is. It's a reality. We're not saying it should be. Yeah.
No, but and this isn't this isn't the first time one of these issues has come up.
No.
It's just the first one that got national attention. Like
something
that.
Happened a couple of weeks after where the kid was walking around and he was yelling at the cop. He had his hands up and he was like, shoot me then, shoot me. And they fucking put like 19 bullets into him and killed him dead. That was in St. Louis.
That was in St. Louis.
Yeah, it happens all over the place. And we're actually going to get into another thing that took place in Brooklyn. It's a different story, but similar subject.
And just one more thing, if I can bring it up.
Go for it.
St. Louis has had a lot of issues with law enforcement. And I get it. Again, it's a lot like Detroit and Chicago, where there's so much crime and there's so many issues. The police kind of feel defeated,
right,
and are probably, frustrated and just like, I don't know what to do. But I remember like in North St. Louis and East St. Louis, where it's really bad, where the murder rate is out of control, the police would tell you, don't stop at stop signs. Like we won't pull you over. Don't stop at stop signs, because if you do, you might get carjacked and you might get murdered. Just keep going. Like, basically, do whatever you can to get the hell out of there, or don't be there in the first place.
Darren Wilson alludes to that in his testimony, where he says this is a part of town where you know, like, you got to be on high alert and whatever. So you already have a state of mind where this guy's going in at a heightened... he's scared, right? And
scared.
He's got fear.
Yeah.
So your reactions are different in that case.
When you're afraid, And so... And everybody,
your decision making,
right? Anybody who's ever been in a fight, if you're not used to fighting, you know that's a scary situation, and everything changes for you in that moment. Every reaction you have, everything is much more different than it would be if you were just your normal self.
Yeah,
fine, but I don't know if I believe everything he's going through, because what's the other reason, Chris? That he's been through police training, right?
Oh, no doubt about it, right.
He should be able to handle himself in situations.
For sure. And it seems like he's not, and this is purely speculation, but it seems like he's not a great cop, because they talk about it in the testimony. He worked at one other police department before this for a while. He applied to work at a better station. They didn't accept him.
His dad was a police officer.
Oh, was he? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, all right.
And that's... And again, don't know, just speculation, but I feel like, and this was when the actual shooting took place a couple of months ago, they were kind of alluding to the fact that maybe he got this job as a police officer in general through kind of like being
possible. Connection.
Legacy. His dad was a great cop, and like,
No, I mean, and that's, you know, fine. I'm sure that happens in a lot of places. But then when you get put, when something like this exposes it, you have to dig through all the details.
Yep.
The thing I wanted to bring up about this, because I think it's a broader point, I think it's important. The Brown family released a statement. I'm just going to read it really quickly because there's one part of it that I think is crucial and I totally agree with. They said, "We are profoundly disappointed that the killer of our child will not face the consequences of his actions. While we understand that many others share our pain, we ask that you channel your frustration in ways that will make a positive change. We need to work together to fix the system that allowed this to happen. Join us in our campaigns to ensure that every police officer working the streets in this country wears a body camera. We respectfully ask that you please keep your protest peaceful. Answering violence with violence is not the appropriate reaction. Let's not just make noise. Let's make a difference." Now, I could not agree with them more. Cops should be wearing body cameras. Let's fucking end all this he said, she said, or he said, he can't say because he's dead in the street for 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
Let's have a camera on these guys. Let's get GoPro involved. Get them cameras. So when shit like this goes down, you can go, oh, he was running at him. Oh, he wasn't. We can end the speculation. We have a video. It's 2014. Everything's on film. Let's take it to the next step. And the people that are supposed to be protecting and serving us, let's make sure that they're being held accountable.
Now,
or not. Or cleared. Or not. This could have been over quickly. You go, oh, Michael Brown's being an asshole. Look what he was doing. Done.
Don't most cop cars have a dash cam anyway?
Yes, all of them do.
So where was the dash cam from this incident?
Well, I don't think he had one. I don't think they all do. I don't think that's true that they all do. I think a lot of them do.
Sure?
I'm not positive. But in either case, sometimes they get turned off. And in this instance, his car was turned, he said, to like block traffic from both directions.
Yeah.
So you weren't going to see anything anyway.
Oh, okay.
So that's easy to obscure. If it's on him, it's fucking on him.
Yeah.
You know?
And That's, I feel like they should have dash cams, but I guess
they should have a lot of cameras.
Yeah, I guess. And one thing, from what it sounds like, when he was talking about his stun gun versus having mace on him, because he said he didn't have a taser on him.
Right.
He only had mace.
Yeah, he had less lethal options, yeah, but he didn't use them.
Certainly did.
Yeah.
He made it, from what it sounds like, he said the tasers weren't always available. Like, every officer didn't have one.
Literally, his response in the testimony
there's one taser in the department,
and he doesn't like to use it because it's too big and it's uncomfortable on his belt.
Bulky on his belt.
That's literally why he didn't have a taser. He doesn't like to use it.
Yep.
So you're telling me that a police force responsible for a city doesn't have two tasers in the whole department?
But they do have
tanks.
They
have one.
But they do have tanks.
Yeah, they have tanks.
Right? How's that possible?
They have military equipment. But they all have AR-15s, they all have shotguns in their cars, but they don't have tasers. Let that sink in for a second.
Don't taser
me, mind-boggling. It doesn't make any sense. So it's just a lot of suspicious shit, man. Let's get a trial. I mean, it just is mind-boggling. But at the same time, it's not, because I guarantee if you talk to some black people, I bet they're going to be like, well, yeah, this is what happens. There's injustice that gets takes place against minority communities. It's just that is a problem that's been exposed here. And you can say whatever you want about the person that got killed. You can say whatever you want about the way the protesters are reacting. We're all in it together. It's we the people versus power. And we need to hold power responsible. It's
simple as that.
Yeah.
So what is this Michael Brown law that you mentioned?
Well, that's what it is. The Michael Brown law is that they should all have
The body cams.
Yeah. They actually put this on petitions.whitehouse.gov. It got 150,000 signatures.
Wow.
Or about 250,000 signatures less than follow Doritos on Twitter. So that's not great. Doritos has about 416,000 followers. This petition to put cameras on cops got 150,000.
Why can't Kim Kardashian tweet this?
You know, I think that all the time. I think
she has 20. How many, like we talked about last
week?
She's
got 30 million
followers.
Yeah. If her, Bieber, and like Lady Gaga.
Fuck Justin One Direction. Bieber. I don't want him
but
in there.
But they have so much. Yeah, One Direction. If they tweeted, look, guys, this is a real serious issue, blah, 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 you'd get a billion signatures on that thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be amazing. Yeah. So I think we covered that. This is going to keep going, I'm sure, but I figured we might as well get into it because this is a huge deal.
See, I want to know how you get from peaceful protesting to looting and flipping things.
Anger. That's why.
Anger.
Anger.
Pure anger.
On top of that, they've been, because people are, I'm sure, just tuning into this. They've been setting up for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks in preparation for this. People have been boarding up their businesses.
Oh, yeah.
They've been calling in National Guard. They've been making sure that all these cops have the right equipment and everything. So
now they have the tasers.
Yeah,
now they have tasers, I'm sure. It's like, if you anticipate a result, are you affecting the result by anticipating it? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure, it seems like
so it. So if you're, my point being, and I think we brought this up with the gun thing, if you have a gun visible in your waistband, are you deterring people or are you perhaps agitating the situation? I think if you're calling in the National Guard 2 weeks before a decision that you supposedly don't know what that decision is going to be, you kind of already know what the result's going to be, and that lets anger build and build and build and build. I'm not excusing it, but part of me is anti-establishment, is a little bit like, you know what? Fuck some shit up, get some attention.
Yep.
It's not ultimately going to be the thing that solves it, but it might be the thing that fucking makes people pay attention. And fuck all the racists that get mad at the black people for blah, blah, blah. Shut the fuck up, because if it was happening in your community, you'd be the first ones out there doing whatever you wanted to do too. It's just because it's not happening to you. That's
dude,
what I mean.
I would
the
be happy to be in fucking Ferguson and out there flipping over a St. Louis County patrol car. Because I've had so many issues with those assholes
there
in the past.
Mm-hmm. It feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good.
It would feel great to flip over.
You can't deny it. Hey, if you're like a stepped on community and you kind of feel like you have a free shot right now to take advantage of it, you're probably going to. I'm not saying it's right, but
it's there.
It's there. Yeah. I wanted to bring this up. I don't even know if this is relevant, but like it kind of goes back to the way that the cops definitely protect each other. It's a really, you know what I'm going to talk about, Joey. I don't think Andy knows this. Years ago, I don't remember even when it was, but I do know that it was Super Bowl Sunday. I was living at my parents' house at the time, and my car was parked in the driveway, and we had three cars. and my car was always last, so it would like hang on to the like over the sidewalk a little bit, but yeah. like into our driveway. And I was downstairs in my room. I was listening to whatever I was listening to. Mm-hmm. I had headphones on, and I heard, it was like 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, and I heard a sound outside. I don't know what it was, but it was like a little bang sound. I don't know what it was, but I just ignored it. 10 minutes later, doorbell rings. It's very strange. So I run upstairs. My parents answer the door. It's a cop, and he goes, "Hey, one of our officers hit your car that was in your driveway." Mm-hmm. Cop came down the street, fucking crushed the side of my car. I mean, really did like thousands of dollars worth of damage. Spun my car around, basically, and hit a pole, like a telephone pole, probably like 100 feet away from where my driveway was. His excuse, first of all, the cop that did it, gone. Was not at the scene when we came out.
Yeah.
I speculate he was drunk at Super Bowl Sunday. He probably was drinking all day, got out of the car, and fucked it up. Because to spin the car around, he was going fast. They said he was doing 25 miles an hour. And they
No way.
He was had to be doing 40 easy. Bull. And they also go, he was doing like a routine check of the streetlights. Here's the kicker. There is not a streetlight for 1,000 feet on either side of my house.
Yep.
Nowhere. So why was he not at the scene? Why was he being protected? Why are they lying? Right? That's a very fucking small incident. Clearly they're lying about something. Yeah. We'll never know. We're not going to know the truth. They'll hide it. And this is a fucking way bigger deal. You don't think that they're going to kind of fudge the facts a little bit? So it's just that type of thing. You know, it's the blue coat of silence or whatever it is. I forget.
Yeah.
Blue wall of silence. I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the name.
But anyway, so that's the Michael Brown thing. I mean, we're going
to... Who paid for your car to get fixed?
My insurance. Because it's it falls under Title 9 or Title 59, whatever it is, that they're in the active duty. That's why they said that. Because, like, he was doing something. He was checking the street list.
He was in a squad car?
Yeah, which was gone by the time we got out. They cleaned up
they cleaned up his car before they
so pissed
like
that
got
I
it onto a flatbed before you even came out?
Yep.
Oh.
I was so pissed that I didn't go out when I heard the sound, but I didn't think anything of it. Had I gone, it was like maybe 15 minutes.
Well, and you're lucky you didn't get like your ass kicked or something if you would have gone out there and been like, what the hell did you do to my car? And he would have been like, get back inside or get down on the ground.
No,
he was running at me, and then Chris is fucking dead in his backyard.
Right, and then everybody's rioting in Westwood.
Yeah.
I
would have rioted in Westwood.
I was mad, dude, because I came out, and I remember my dad was like, oh, okay, like, listen to what they're saying. And I was like, dude, they're they're fucking lying. I was like, where's the cop?
Yeah.
I was like, let's talk to the cop. I was like, let's breathalyze him. It was like, oh, whatever. I made a scene, but they didn't really care. But anyway, the point is, it's like, that shit happens, and it definitely happened in this case, I think.
Yeah.
So... all right, so I think we covered that.
To move on.
Yeah, the next one, it's not going to get much lighter. We have like one more heavy one that I want to get into.
I have one that's kind of light.
Well, we're going to get into that. I do want to continue because it fits in the same vein. In Brooklyn this past week, quote, totally innocent unarmed man shot dead by NYPD. This guy, Akai Gurley, who's 28 years old, in Brooklyn in a...
what was his name?
Akai, A-K-A-I, Gurley, G-U-R-L-E-Y.
Okay.
He was shot dead by a cop in his own apartment building in the stairwell. While these cops were doing what's called a vertical patrol, which is really why I want to get into it. I'm going to say off the top, I think this was an accident. And I don't think it was malicious that this guy meant to kill this kid. I think it was a freak out. This guy was on probationary. That's why he was there to begin with. He's only been on the force for 18 months. I think it legitimately was a fuck up. The thing I want to talk about, though, is that these cops are in this building for any reason.
What were they doing there?
Well, they go in on these vertical patrols routinely. I don't know if it's every day, but they're there at least once a week because it's a high crime area. There's gun violence there. They just go in the buildings and look around for crime.
And just walk through the hallways and like see if they smell weed or something.
Right. Which is what I find bothersome about this. That's a presumption of guilt, which you're not supposed to have in America. You're supposed to, you know, be innocent until proven guilty. You're going into this place
to look for crime,
you're gonna find something, I'm sure, but you're violating the shit out of your privacy. And I guarantee that these cops are, like we just talked about with Darren Wilson.
Oh,
there's fear
overworked
involved.
And just
overworked.
Like,
yeah. There's fear involved when you're in a. They're telling you go to this horrible part of town.
Yeah.
That has a lot of gun violence and drug violence and whatever.
And
then
around.
Go walk through their house.
Yeah.
That's what they're telling you. So it's unfair to everybody in the situation. It's unfair to the kid that gets killed. He shouldn't be dead. And it's unfair to the cops to put them in a position where they're going to be in this high anxiety situation. You know.
How old was the kid?
28.
28.
Him and his girlfriend were coming out, like they stepped into like a landing on whatever the seventh floor is.
Yeah.
And the cops were walking down or up, I don't know which way it was, from the ninth floor, and they heard the door open and the guy had his gun drawn already, which of course, and he fucking freaked out or whatever, and the gun
and just went like dang, boom, dink, boom, boom.
Yeah, and he, and it fucking ricocheted off something and it killed the kid.
Wait. So he didn't fire at the kid?
No, like, no, that's just what I mean. It was an accident that he shot him. But the fact that he's there, to me, is the problem. Like, why is he even there with his gun drawn?
Well, yeah, of course. So the cops aren't just walking through this building. They're walking through with their guns drawn.
This guy was. I don't know if they're supposed to be doing that. I would imagine that's not protocol, but I imagine it happens. Because it happened in this case.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, that, to me, is such a violation that you're going to have. And I get it. I get the argument. You know, I get the argument. Like, well, it drops crime. Okay.
Yeah.
If it's happening outside of the building, fine. If you get a call, come here.
If you get
here,
called to a situation?
Fine.
But that's...
Because we wouldn't tolerate it. I wouldn't tolerate it at my apartment. I wouldn't have cops walking around.
No.
But guess what? I'm white and I live on the Upper East Side, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's another thing, though. Like, even like very rarely when they get called to a scene, do they walk in with their guns drawn?
Of course. Why would they? Right.
Like, the only time they have their guns drawn is when, normally, is when they're raiding an apartment or a house.
Yeah, sure. Right, so, there has to be probable cause or whatever it's called to, it's protocol, whatever, to take your gun out.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy. The police commissioner, Bill Bratton, calls it an unfortunate tragedy. And it is.
What happened to the police officer who did it?
He's, you know,
he's,
I guess,
paid,
he's on
leave,
yeah, he's
like
probably
Darren
on
Wilson, who
exactly
got $400,000 and got married when he was on leave.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
That's good.
I mean, he needed a break.
$400,000 will buy you a nice house in Missouri, for anybody who doesn't know.
Buy you a mansion in Missouri, yeah.
Not a mansion, but a very nice
house. A nice house. Joey, what do you think about this situation? Because I find it to be, in America, again, maybe I'm too idealistic, I don't know. But in America, I think that you have a reasonable expectation of privacy when
you're
at home.
Thought this was America.
I think it's a bit much, yes, to have... I think the main issue was the fact that the cop already had the gun drawn.
Well, that's ultimately what caused it. Yeah. But the point is, if his gun's drawn at home, it's not a problem.
Yeah, they were there in
the fact that he's in that building for no probable cause other than the percentage of
crime
will happen there.
Yeah.
That's fucked. That's fucked to me. And like, you can't, because people go, oh, you're being an apologist for minorities or for the poor. No, I'm not. I'm defending the right of other people.
And doesn't,
you know,
somebody need to fucking apologize for him?
Yeah, that's point? The thing. You can't.
With all these events that happen one after another,
right?
It's not okay to be like, they're being fucking picked on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Maybe it's time to have like a universal training system, like a brand new system of training the officers and all that. But then again, they're overworked and
or
underpaid.
Train them in a special way in these high pressure situations. Yeah.
They do that. After a lot of these incidents, they go do training blah, blah, blah. The problem ultimately is that, again, like I said, it's the people versus power. You have a police force that's becoming increasing across the country, becoming increasingly militarized, increasingly empowered to search without a warrant, do all these things in the name of terrorism, but it crosses into regular policing. They're all going to have drones in the next, you know, easily 5 years. Every police department's going to have drones. That'll be a lot of fun. It's not necessarily lack of training, although I'm sure some of them, it is a little bit of that. It's a lack of understanding. It's a lack of ability to communicate properly with communities that they have no involvement with other than when they're at work. Those cops
true.
Are not living in the communities that they're policing. That's a huge issue. They don't know how to deal with you know, people that they just don't deal. You don't know how to treat people that you don't deal with all the time.
Right.
Ultimately, it'd be nice if everybody just understood you got to treat people with respect, and you might not get it back. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
But you're a cop. You're empowered. You know, you have to be held to a higher standard because you have a badge and a gun.
And you're supposed to be there to protect and to serve.
Right. You're not there to rack up arrests or bust drug dealers. Like that's.
Yeah, but those lines were blurred a long time ago.
No doubt about it. And that's again, part of the problem.
Yeah.
All right. So
part of the problem. Another great podcast we have on
Dave
the
Smith. Yeah, Dave Smith was just
he was just
giving
here,
a sermon
yeah.
out in the hallway about this. Yeah. He's a good. We should try to get him on this. So
yeah,
be
we
great
should
on this. All right. So I think that's good. I felt like I had one other thing to say about that. It doesn't matter. You guys get the point. I hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving. It's been a
oh,
lot
yeah,
of fun.
This is good.
This is the Thanksgiving episode. It's really light.
So yeah, play this at the table, definitely.
Yeah. Because
this is lighter than the gravy, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. And you know what? Nice. Your aunts and uncles are going to love talking to you about this. Trust me. One thing really quickly, and then we're going to get to the light stuff. Andy's got some topics. Joey's got some crap to talk about. I really just want to even just mention this. Chuck Hagel, who's the current defense secretary, just stepped down, resigned, but that's being fired basically when you resign from position abruptly.
Yep.
To me, this is me just reading the tea leaves. This means that we're going to start to escalate our military involvement in Iraq again. I feel like because this guy's sort of, I wouldn't necessarily say a moderate, but he voted to bring the troops out of Iraq in 2007, and he's a Republican. This is why Obama picked him. They got along. Now that he's out, I have a feeling that we're going to really jack up the amount of stuff that we're doing militarily. And also, last week, as a precursor to this, which might have led to a disagreement that resulted in the resignation, Obama upped our role in Afghanistan. American forces can now carry out combat missions again, which they weren't doing for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just going to be a ramping up of our military. That's all. I just want to put that on the record so that way in, you know, a year when we're back at war, you heard it here first, Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. That was a very Joey answer. Oh, yeah.
Thanks, right. Joey.
Okay.
Do okay. we know who has the position now or no?
No, it's up in the air right now. It's some woman. I forget her name. She okay. might be the first female Secretary of Defense. And you know that she's going to, I mean, I guess this feminists are going to be mad, but I bet she's going to try to act like bullish. You know what I mean? Like she can't
bull-like.
Come in. And, no, I didn't say that.
Oh,
she, I said bullish. You know?
I said bull dyke.
Yeah, I know. Is that is that an offensive term? I don't know.
I don't think so. There's okay. one in every relationship.
You guys let us know.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Let Andy know.
Yeah.
A_Lozy on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. But I would assume, like, she can't come in and be a dove. You know, she has to come in and be, like...
She's got to be a hawk.
Pretty gung-ho, yeah. All right, so you know what? So that was good. That's a solid 45 minutes we did on some dead serious shit. And I just want to bring up one more. Our old friend Taylor Swift. An interesting thing about this young lady. Her YouTube views have doubled after she's left Spotify. So she pulls her shit from Spotify. She's not getting paid. She is definitely getting paid from YouTube views less, I think, or slightly more than she would be getting paid from Spotify. And her views have doubled. She gets like 24 million views a week or something like that. Something crazy. 35 million views. What? 35 million views daily. That's what she's averaging. Unbelievable. So I just wanted to bring that up. So her shit's not on Spotify, but she's okay with it being on YouTube, I guess. That doesn't compromise her art. Why?
Because she's a...
Yeah. Well, she's getting paid from that, too. Yeah. I mean, I have a call into her people. She hasn't answered me.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good.
We're going to get her
on.
Come
on the show, please.
Yeah. Well, again, we'll treat you nice. Andy won't mutter, bitch, in the which I love from last episode. All right, boys.
No, I would... Yeah, I would love to be your boyfriend, Taylor Swift.
Oh my God, it's turning so quickly. You'll be like, good for you. You should pull your stuff on Spotify,
yeah,
babe.
You're kidding me?
That. Yeah.
She has like six $35 million houses. Are you kidding me?
She's doing
just
pretty well.
Fine.
She made the third most money this year of any artist, $64 million, right behind Bieber and One Direction, maybe? I read that the other day. Anyway. All right, so this is the first. I'm out of topics, guys, so it's all on you now.
So let's talk about making money.
Okay.
All right.
DNA pioneer James Watson is to sell his Nobel Prize that he won for his co-discovery of the double helix structure, the building block of life.
Why?
What?
Why?
Because he can sell it for $3.5 million.
So it's just the physical structure of the DNA.
What is it, the Nobel Prize?
No. He's selling his Nobel Prize.
He's selling the actual Nobel Prize.
Joey thinks he's selling the double helix itself. Here's the building block of life.
It'll be the first time the Nobel Prize has been sold by a living recipient. The guy's now 85. He was awarded the medal for his work in the field of physiology or medicine alongside fellow scientist Francis Crick, Maurice Wilkins in 1962. So,
who the fuck's he selling it to?
It's actually going to be for sale in New York City. It'll be in a sale at Christie's in New York City on December 4th.
Why? What is he broke? Or he's dying? He wants to leave some money to his kids?
He really didn't give like a good reason for it.
Okay.
That's basically it.
That's so weird.
So then, are we bidding on it, or they just say it's 3.5? Who wants it?
I think it's just 3.5. Whoever wants it wants it.
Yeah, but I guess if somebody goes, oh, okay, I want it, it's like, well, I want it. Then
it'll bid up from 3.5.
Yeah, but who's going to spend that much on?
That was my next question. Who the fuck? Why would you want somebody else's medal? That's like me giving Joey an old baseball trophy and being like, here you go, Joey. Yeah. You were the MVP.
Well, except like he didn't discover the double helix, but
It's a little it's a little different. Obviously, being the MVP of Little League is pretty important.
Were you the MVP of Little League?
Yeah, I was.
Were you?
Yeah.
Good for you, Chris.
Thank you. I used to pitch and hit pretty well.
Who caught?
I'm still the top. So that's weird, man, that he'd be selling the why would you want that?
Like, this is the most random thing ever. Who's gonna be like, I mean, I guess just like Richard Branson will probably buy it and be like,
Richard Branson can build spaceships. It'll be some like creepy millionaire who's like, oh, I'm gonna have the Nobel Prize in my house,
I guess.
I'll shove it up my butt. Why would he do it?
Why would he shove it up his butt?
For pleasure or whatever. Or he hates himself. I don't know. Okay. Well, do you have any other topics there?
No, that was like my big
that
one.
That was it. Wow. You brought a lot to the table. That's great. Jesus Christ. Do you understand the position that you just put us both in, that now we're going to throw it to Joey and he has like 15, 20 minutes to talk about whatever he wants?
Oh, like, yes.
I kind of wanted it to be like that.
You son of a bitch.
Thank you, Andrew.
Sandbagging son of a bitch.
You're welcome. I did that on purpose. I have a couple more if Joey's don't work out.
Okay. All right. Good. As long as we have... All right. Good. Okay. Joey, you know what? It's your show, bud.
So... I don't know if you guys know, but there was a huge, huge event Sunday night in wrestling. WWE Survivor Series.
Wait, before we get into it,
I have a couple more topics.
Yeah, let's talk about dirt. I just want to put this out there.
Yes.
I don't watch wrestling anymore.
I don't either.
I'm an adult.
I used to like it.
I used to watch it when I was a kid, like age appropriate. Mm-hmm. And I will admit, occasionally, I'll watch... like a documentary about it, because I find the business side interesting. But I like documentaries in general. Joey, you still watch wrestling?
Yes, I do.
What can you explain to me why you still watch wrestling? Have you ever stopped watching wrestling?
Oh, I stop watching every like so often for a 3-4 month period.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, did you stop from when you were like 15 to 22, and then you were like, I'm gonna get back into this shit?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
What made you stop?
Storylines got bad. Storylines got bad and things like that.
But now they're good.
Yes. But I have a question for you.
Why are they good?
Last night, did you check out Twitter at all?
I did. It was inundated with the N-word. Every other tweet was these stupid N's. And then the other one was like, these
Who
fucking
Who do you
cocks.
Follow that all?
I follow Anthony Cumia. So a lot of the people
don't know who that is.
From Opie and Anthony.
I'm sorry. I do know who he is.
Yeah, who... you know, I don't know if he's putting it on or not. He's a bit racist, I would say. A lot of his followers are super racist. Yeah. And I also follow Yes, You're Racist, the Twitter account. And they were just retweeting a ton of shit that was racist. So it was either N-word, you guys are savages, to just like liberal outrage.
All right. So did you at all go into the top 10 trending?
No, I didn't do that.
Okay, the top two trending for a period of time last night was number one was Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
Number two was Larry the Cable Guy.
Why?
Because he guest hosted Raw.
Do you understand how fucked up? See, like, that's...
I kid you not.
That's the problem right there. I mean, that's one of the problems.
So...
No, we're not glossing... Look, okay. I'm going to give you a little lesson in podcasting here. You say the thing about Larry the Cable Guy, mm-hmm. and I go, unbelievable. That's part of the problem. And Andy goes, don't gloss. Let's delve into that Larry the Cable Guy thing for a second. Let's put the pieces together.
Chris is giving lessons in podcasting. We're seven episodes.
Larry the Cable Guy's trending because people are watching Raw. Mm-hmm. I would assume that's kids. Great. They're not paying attention to what's really going on. It's more than just kids. And I would assume that the people that are watching wrestling and are fans of Larry the Cable Guy probably are on the side of the cops. I'm just generalizing, but I would guess they are.
Probably.
They're probably, like, that's what's frustrating about it, because they're not really paying attention to what happens. They're going to get it from Fox, they're going to get it from whatever bullshit outlet, or they're not going to pay attention at all, and that's a huge problem, I think, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know what...
Was he good? Did you watch Raw?
I did
watch Raw. So you didn't watch the coverage either. What time does Raw start?
Okay. Raw starts at 8, it's on to 11.
Sometime, so you missed the entire thing.
It's been 3 hours for years.
Really?
Yes. It is amazing that they're able to put on a 3-hour show every week.
But here's the thing. I did know about the...
that's a great point. You're like,
I did know about the Ferguson coverage. I had it on at 9 o'clock. My mom was in the other room. She was watching it.
What was she wearing?
Totally inappropriate. And
yeah, what she was wearing
not
was
even I'm on.
What she was wearing was totally inappropriate.
That's not you asking me that, not what she was wearing. And the gentleman, the prosecutor, was on the TV, and when I realized that he was gonna say anything to cover his ass for the next 15 minutes, I decided not to sit down and listen to BS.
I'm glad you brought that up. I watched it. I forced my girlfriend to watch it because she was watching some of her DVR shows. Yeah, we watched Raw. I forced her to watch Raw. It was great. Randy Orton, baby. I got home from the studio at like 8:30, and I was like, watch what you're watching. But at 9, I got to put this on because, like, this is important. It's live.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching it, and I swear to you, I had that thought while I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
This is him covering his ass. I was like, I bet a lot of people right now are getting up, turning it off, and be like, that blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not going to put up with this bullshit. That's what he wants you to do.
But one big thing that happened last night was a groundhog attacked a man and chased him inside his home and kept him there for more than 3 hours in New Hampshire.
Why?
What?
Why did he do that?
He was groundhog. A vicious groundhog.
How big was this fucking thing? Was he 6'4"?
Yeah, he was. And the guy didn't kill him. It was amazing.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was very nice of him not to kill this thing.
What did they do with it after they brought it back to the wild?
Well, I guess he backed off after a while.
What? Let's get into this, and then we'll get back to Joey's thing.
Okay. So this guy in New Hampshire was outside in his yard, and this rogue groundhog came up, didn't know groundhogs existed anywhere but Pennsylvania for that one day in February every year.
Right, mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he was out in his yard, this thing kind of came after him, he retreated to his house, didn't try to stand his ground and murder the thing, and the thing is like up against his window, like biting at his window.
Groundhogging at
like,
the window. Yeah, yeah.
Like being a wild man.
Now, this wasn't a mutant groundhog or anything, it wasn't a huge beast of the thing, it's just a normal sized groundhog.
No, a normal sized groundhog.
Hmm.
Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. Back to Joey.
Okay. Wait. So it just reminded me because we're talking about wrestling. We'll get into it. That was another thing Wilson said in his testimony. He goes, he was as strong as Hulk Hogan. That's literally what he said. He's
Hulk Hogan or
Hulk Hogan
or the Hulk.
Hulk Hogan.
But again, he's kind of a dimwit. He probably meant the Incredible Hulk.
No, I think he meant Hogan because they asked him. The woman that was interviewing was like, who? And he's like, Hulk Hogan. Like
who's over 60
he,
now.
So he believed that Michael Brown was as strong as Hulk Hogan. That's why he felt that's real. That's literally what he said. Go ahead, Joey.
So back to Larry the Cable Guy for a moment.
Yeah, I love
mind.
Talking about Larry the Cable
Guy. Do you know what he was promoting?
Priceless Psycho TC?
Yeah.
Nope.
Cheddar Bacon Potato Chips.
Nope. A new movie.
Oh,
Jingle
good.
All the Way 2.
Oh, God.
No fucking way.
Yes.
Jingle All the Way sucked.
No, it didn't. It's a classic.
Don't argue with me.
It's Sinbad.
Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Yes.
It's not my kind of movie. It's fine. It's probably great. Fucking, are you serious? Right,
so the original reason why I brought...
You know that Larry the Cable Guy's real name is Dan Whitney, by the way.
Yes, I did know that.
He's from Boston.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
It's all put on.
Okay.
Good for him. But
he's doing a great job.
He is doing a great job.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. A lot of money.
Tricking rednecks.
Yeah. Get her done.
Nah.
So.
Good.
The reason I brought this all up was
Chesterfield.
Because
chill, Bubba. It's only an hour.
12-year-old me got really excited because Sunday night was Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know who stepped into
the ring?
That's
a Thanksgiving tradition.
For the very, very first time in the WWE.
I do know, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Tell me who it was.
Sting.
It was Sting. So in celebration, I came up with a little game called Is It Sting or Sting?
Is it Sting or Sting? I'm going to say, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. That doesn't make sense as a title. Yeah. I do want to get into this, though, because you do love Sting.
Yes, I
saw. I knew that he did because you tweeted amidst all the chaos of Twitter. I just saw Joey. He wrote hashtag Sting. That's what he wrote. And I was like, oh, he must be in the WWE now, which is crazy because he's like the longest fucking holdout. It's so weird that he was never in.
Yeah. Why did he never come over?
What happened was back in 2001 when WWE, at the time known as WWF, they bought WCW because they messed up and they went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. So they bought him, and then they had the invasion angle, which was all the WCW guys came over. His contract was going to be up, and he was afraid that he would have to start from the bottom, work his way back to the top.
Mm-hmm.
So he sat out the rest of his contract, and then he did NWA or something, and then he went to TNA, and he was at TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work out. It's very weird, because he was like a big name in WCW.
Dude, he was huge. He was my favorite. Like, when WCW mattered, like, I loved Sting. Everybody did.
Right. Very strange. Well, anyway, so he's here. Is he here? Is this a one-off, or is he in now?
And how old is he now?
That's a good question. Okay, you ready for this?
At least 40.
One of the questions.
He's got to be over 40.
Listen, we're playing Sting with Sting. You ready?
Okay.
Wait, can you give me the rules for Sting? What does that mean?
I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, and you tell me, is it Sting or Sting?
Are you saying the same thing, Sting or Sting?
Can we just get this straight? Different. Are you saying, is it A or A? Is that what you're saying?
No, just pay attention.
All right. Okay, Joey, you have my full attention. Okay. Go for it.
The first one is an English musician, singer, songwriter, multi-instrument.
Okay.
I got it.
Activist, actor.
Sting is 55 years old. Holy
you didn't
shit.
Let me get to that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so who is it? I just gave you a bunch of clues.
Start over.
Okay, is an English musician, singer, songwriter, multi-instrument.
Sting.
Yes.
It's Sting.
Okay. Next one. Is an American professional wrestler and signed to the WWE.
Sting.
Goldberg.
Okay.
No, it's Sting. Sting. I meant Sting.
Who was the lead singer of The Police?
You're ridiculous. That's the same one. Are you serious?
Go ahead.
Sting.
Okay. Came dubbed
Who's
as...
Who's winning right now? I have two. No, I said Goldberg, so it's 1-1.
I have two.
Okay.
Came to be dubbed as the franchise of during the 1990s and early 2000s.
Sting. Yes.
Okay.
I feel like I just pause the game for a second. I feel like I have to even explain what's going on. Our good buddy and coworker over here, Aaron Friedman, who has Jamcast on this network, just stepped into the booth. He's never, I don't think, listened to us do this podcast, and he's getting a real weird taste of what's happening right now. So this is not representative.
To be fair, he's not paying attention. So.
No, he hates all of us.
He hates the show.
And I understand that. Everybody does.
Next question. He then worked at a school as a school teacher at St. Paul's First School in Cunningham for 2 years.
Cunningham? Where's that?
Over in England.
Oh, okay.
Sting?
Yes.
All right.
Fuck.
Who faced Hulk Hogan at Starrcade 1997?
Sting.
Yes. Who has won 16 Grammy Awards?
Mariah. Sting.
Yes.
Sting. He pointed to Andy. I said it at the same time.
And the last one. In 2000, he received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Sting?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You know what, Joey? I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about, but that's kind of funny.
Sting has 16 Grammys?
Yes, he does.
Now, here's my real question. Did you steal that from somebody?
No.
You thought of that?
You made that up?
Yes, I did.
Dude, good for you. That was funny.
Because what happened was...
That was good.
Sunday night, I was really excited because Sting was in the WWE.
Of course.
And I was trying to see who else was talking about Sting, and one of the tweets was actually about the other Sting, who's been called to help out on his musical on Broadway.
Oh, that's funny.
So I'm like, that's funny, Sting and Sting. So
I'm actually really impressed. You came up with the fucking bit. Good job.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
we actually also have a bit we're going to do later. It's involves Jurassic world with Joe Jurassic Harari. World, yeah. Just keep your eye out on Instagram. Look on Andy's Instagram for that.
Yeah. Why does it have to be on mine?
Because you use it more than I do. Maybe you look on mine, too. True. You won the Sting game.
No, Sting game's not over yet.
Oh.
Okay. This is for bonus points. What is the real name of Sting?
Sting.
Steven Gerrard.
Which Sting?
Nope. I pick either one you want.
Shit. Who can Google quicker? My computer's slow.
One was born March 20th, 1959.
Steve Borden is the wrestler.
Steve Borden, damn it! Yes.
Gordon Matthew Thomas Sumner.
Woo! Yes, done. So maybe next time we play, you either have to say Steven or Thomas, but I thought Sting was funny.
Where's Sting from?
We're just going to start asking
about Omaha, Nebraska. Yes.
Which Sting? Okay, so this is pretty good, Joey. I'm proud of you.
Right, thank
you. He lives in Dallas, though.
Yeah, he does live in Dallas.
He's also gone. Hey, Joey, how about I ask you some Sting trivia? What are some of his other ring names?
The franchise. Yeah. There's a whole bunch.
No, incorrect.
Nope.
Blade Runner Flash.
Flash Borden.
Steve Borden.
Which is his real
Sting.
Name. So
yes. Yeah.
Not a very good ring name. He's only 6'2", 250. He's, not a big guy.
He was billed from every man's nightmare.
AKA Venice Beach, California.
asinine. All right. Well, that's great. If you're listening, congratulations. You won.
Did he bring his bat into the ring?
Yeah. What kind of Sting showed up?
It was the Scorpion Sting.
Okay.
And he did not have the baseball bat with
him. Well, what was his role? What did he do when he showed up?
Yeah, what happened?
Oh, okay. So he what happened was...
Joey just got so excited.
I also like Joey's wearing a leather jacket. He looks like Eric Bischoff.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Not powerful. All right, go ahead.
So it was Survivor Series where you had one team, Team Cena, gotta hate him, and the other team, Team Authority,
he's wholesome,
who, you know, Triple H and Stephanie backed.
Sure.
Long story,
Stephanie is still involved?
Yeah, she's doing a great job.
She has big old tits, man.
She's a mother now, so let's be respectful.
Take old bit.
She does, man. Remember when she got
huge.
That boob job?
I
that
do
was
remember.
When I was still watching wrestling. I stuck around for another couple
weeks. I was going to say probably.
She had nude photos come out, man, and she looked fucking
that
good.
That was a big part of my...
And very soon.
That was a big part of early whacking.
I was going to say that was a big part of my
and
early...
And very soon.
Joey, are you fucking serious?
No, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to explain to everybody what I used to jerk off to as a kid. Women of Wrestling was like there was a website. Wow.com
yeah,
or something.
It was like Trish Stratus was on there too.
Official Women of Wrestling. I used to really be into Sunny, Terry Reynolds, Marlena. Yeah. Oh, big part of my early masturbatory habits. Jenna Jameson, like pictorials. Do you understand that we used to jerk off to pictures?
So yes, yeah. I was just going to say that. Was that we used to have to print out pictures. Like, did you ever print them out?
No, I didn't print them.
Oh, okay. Well,
maybe once or twice, probably. Yeah,
because I didn't have a computer. My fucking parents listen to this. My mom.
It's fine. Listen, he's it's good.
Yeah, but anyway.
Healthy sexuality.
So yeah, you'd print out pictures because I didn't have a computer in my room at the time.
Right,
because I was like young. It was whatever.
Dude, fucking AOL used to be the worst. I'm old. Did you even do that with dial up? You'd go online.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
but you'd go to like this is for people. I bet there's people listening that are in college that don't even know what I'm talking about.
Oh no, definitely.
You'd go on AOL, and it wasn't like a browser. It would just be like the AOL.
Whatever that thing was.
App, basically, or whatever program. And then you could go to, like, certain channels, and one of them was WWE, and they'd have a photo gallery.
Mm-hmm.
None of them, like, super hot, but good enough.
Good enough, man.
And I also will say this. This is admitting to a crime. I think it's past the statute of limitations. I stole a WWE magazine with China on the cover from Quick Check in 1997. I may or may not have jerked off to that. May or may not be a man or a woman. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, have you seen her nudes?
It's exciting. Yeah, I have. It's that huge clit.
Her
and X-Pac had a sex tape.
Yeah, they did.
X-Pac or Eddie Guerrero?
X-Pac.
What's the X-Pac up to this day?
He's okay. He's got a really gruff voice now. It's funny. It's
really?
Like, yeah, he's the 1-2-3 kid, but just like, hey, everybody, it's X-Pac.
Mm-hmm.
This is so, what a weird ending to this.
Yeah.
Listen, this, you know what? We're going into a holiday. We have one more podcast to record. It's In the Conversation with Damian Lemon, Vlad Guerrero, Vladimir Camaño, and
we have two.
Ali Muhammad. What else?
Spread.
Oh, The Spread with Dave Jusko. Duh.
Great show.
What a silly goose I am. That's coming in. But we're winding down here. It's almost a holiday. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Yeah, this is fun. You know, we're not going to do this all the time. We're just BSing a little bit. Joe, you got any more topics there?
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, you killed it with that Sting versus Sting thing.
Yeah, I think we're all set here.
All right, guys, thank you very much for listening, especially if you're hearing this sentence right now. You're really a fan, and I really appreciate it. Yeah. I think this is fun, though.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are having a great holiday. I hope you enjoy the weekend or whatever. Be safe. Have some fun. And again, this is coming out early. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, enjoy your time with your families, definitely.
Yeah.
And enjoy a lot of food. Remember, eat as much as you can. It's there's no shame on these days.
No.
Eat as much as you can, undo your belt, and go watch some football.
You eat a lot. Here's what you do. You eat a shitload while your family's over. You save a little for later. You smoke a little weed.
Oh, you
got to listen to this podcast. Yeah. You have your meal set up for later. Boom. You're set. That's a wonderful night.
Well, the thing is you have your meal, and then the sandwich is what comes later.
That's what I mean, right?
The sandwich right. with everything you can fit onto it. Dude, put stuffing and cranberry sauce on your sandwich. I don't give a shit.
Why?
Then have a side of gravy to dip it in.
Why wouldn't you? Boom. That's solid advice from Andy right there.
And I just want to give everyone a happy...
a big wet hug.
Good luck on your Black Friday shopping.
No, you know what? Don't even bring that up. That's something we're going to have to talk about next week.
Yeah.
It's okay. Ridiculous. All right. So this came out early this week. It's just a one-off, so you guys can have this a day early. We think you might want it. Next week, every week after that, it'll be coming out midnight Thursday into Friday. And we love you guys. Leave us comments. Oh, yeah, on Twitter, @mansamp, @A_Lozy, @JoeyFromJersey, Jersey with the Z. Email us, mandatorysamson@gmail.com, soundcloud.com/mandatorysamson. Go on iTunes, rate, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. We love you very much. We're just rambling at the end. Enjoy your holiday. We will all talk to you next week.